It's the new year, and you know what that means. It's time to track your habits with iOS. It's iOS Today! iOS Today is brought to you from LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless. Visit lastpass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Mint Mobile. They provide the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free at mintmobile.com/iOS. Oh, it is iOS Today. I am Micah Sargent today, and Leo is not here today because he is at CES. So we are going to, once again, have an incredible guest on the show to talk about iOS, tvOS, watchOS, HomePodOS, all the OS that is iOS. It is Rosemary Orchard, who is back, and I'm so pumped to have you here again.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be back podcasting with you.
Yay. So this was great. Before the show, I said, Rosemary, would you like to join me? It would be great to have you back. And then you said, yeah, if you need a topic, I was thinking, and as you were typing in Slack, I was typing to you, I was thinking we should do, and then you sent habit tracking, and then I sent habit tracking. And so we're going to do habit tracking today.
Yeah, it kind of felt like a sign.
So. It was meant to be because, you know, people are making resolutions. They are trying to better themselves. They want to be as on top of things as possible. And the way one often does that is by creating and sticking to new habits. But before we do that, I do want to know, do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Yes, my New Year's resolution is to actually take my vitamins every day, because I've heard that vitamins are good for you, but if you don't take them every day, it kind of doesn't work. So I'm working on that one.
Nice. I think it was a couple years ago that I resolved that I would not make New Year's resolutions because I always end up disappointing myself whenever I don't hold true to them. So it's just like I'm not going to give it a name. It's just that sometimes there are things that I want to do and it just so happens to be the start of a new year, but they're not New Year's resolutions. And somehow that works on my, you know, lizard brain and makes me likely to stick to it. Yeah. So I think we should just hop right into this and talk about apps we can use for habit tracking. And just like last time you were on, I am happy to have you sort of lead this discussion. I want to hear about the apps that you use, the apps that you like, and what makes them so great.
Well, my favorite app for this is Streaks. It's a really simple tracking application. So the idea is that you build a chain of habits that you've completed. And I love it because it integrates with the health app. So you can add a bunch of things like taking 5,000 steps a day or 10,000 steps a day. And you don't have to go in and check in the health app if you've done 10,000 steps today and then mark it off in Streaks. You just open Streaks and it talks to the health app and goes, hey, you did 10,000 steps today. Good job.
Oh, that's so nice. So I'm not having to kind of go and say, oh, golly, the habit that I forgot to do was to go in and say that I did this thing today.
Exactly. And also, you don't have to do things every day, which is another thing, because a lot of these habit tracking applications are like, you must do this every day. And it's like, actually, I only want to spend 40 minutes reading at weekends. I don't want to have it Monday to Friday, or I just need to do this three times a week. I don't need to do it Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It could be any 3 days of the week. And you can do all of that with customizations. So when you select a habit, then what you can actually do is you can edit the preferences to do all sorts of things. So you can see there's a bunch of different health ones there, and it pre-suggest things, and that will ask you, at least on iPhone, if it can access your health data. On iPad, it's going to have a little bit of a problem with that because right. it can't really access things, the health app, because the health app doesn't exist there.
That's a little annoying, I think.
So annoying. Come on, Apple. It's 2020 now. Let me see I can do the ECG on my watch. Let me see it on my big, beautiful 12.9-inch iPad screen that I don't have yet because I can't see an ECG on it.
Oh, my goodness. I've already walked 4,277 steps today.
Well
I'm
done.
So close to 5,000. Oh, no. Okay. Never mind. I'm doing math wrong. I have 4,277 steps left to take today. I could get that
with
easy.
A device with you. Yeah. 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 So you've got some work cut out for you, but I'm sure your dogs will give you a hand there.
They will. Exactly. And I saw that there was a separate step for walking the dog. I should also note this is a beautifully designed app. It's very simple. You tap and hold on a task to say, yes, I've done that task. And it's minimal, and it makes me want to go into it and, make sure that I'm doing the things that I want to do.
Yeah. And also you can tap on any one of your habits or tasks, as they're called, and you can see a calendar history of it, which is really nice for going back and seeing, hey, when did I actually last take the dogs for a walk? Did I do that yesterday or was it the day before? And somebody else took them for a dog yesterday. Took them for a walk yesterday. I mean, maybe they want to go see a dog.
Oh, yeah, there you go. There's the calendar.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. So you have a calendar view. And if you tap and hold on that, then you get a bigger calendar view as well. And then you can go back and mark things off as done the previous day if you did forget to do something, for example.
So not cheating.
Cheating, but actually, tracking things.
Gotcha. Oh.
And I like it because you can change the color scheme as well.
Wait,
you can change the icon.
It doesn't have to be orange?
No, tap that setting.
It can be green.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You can add a bunch of positivity with your favorite color as well. And you can add 2 pages of habits. You can add 12 habits to track. And there's a bunch of variety in there as well, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to do everything every day.
Right.
I just want to do some things every day. So...
Oh, my goodness. And I can make this match. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I've got my Midnight Green Streaks app.
Yes.
Oh, look at her. She is beautiful. She
is
colorful.
So nice.
She is amazing.
Yes.
Wow. And, I need to be in this app every day now. This makes me so happy.
Yeah. And the developer behind it is called Crunchy Bagel, which is the best developer name ever.
Also fantastic. Yes. Oh, and there are even color schemes... with multiple colors. I quite like this blue and green. That's quite nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
And I can shift it. Oh, this is awesome. Oh, thank
there
you
we
for
go.
This.
Well, that streaks pretty much. I mean, it's one of those things that can be super, you can get really nitty gritty with the setups, and you can have reminders to do things and reminders only between specific times, add the badge to the app icon to even show you how many habits you've got left to complete today. And you can have some habits only show up between specific times. So say, for example, you have a nighttime routine habit, but you don't want it to show up until 8 p.m. Then you don't have it on the badge until 8 p.m. And it's really nice, and I find it's really good for helping me get there. It's kind of like Carrot Weather app had a baby with a habit tracker.
I love it.
Only it doesn't yell at
it's
you.
It's not mean, which I don't mind a mean, honestly.
Carrot does have a to-do application, actually. So if you want the mean, then maybe try that. But it's not really for habit tracking.
Okay. I might have to see if I... can withstand that, because I don't mind having, while I'm getting my weather, this thing that I'm not in control of, having Carrot call me ugly is fine. But if it was like, hey, ugly, why haven't you done this task yet today? That might break my heart. I'd have to be careful with that.
And we don't want you to have a broken heart.
I don't want a broken heart. Mm. This is an incredible app, and I'm so excited about, like I said, the color scheme's really nice. So.
Yeah.
And again, I think there's something to an app that integrates with other bits of your, digital life in order to provide for an experience that has the automatic, okay, we know how many steps you've taken today. So you're not having to, one less thing to actively go in and try to change is nice for multiple reasons, because then you are more likely to want to follow through, I think, whenever you do go in and you say, oh, I actually did those things already. So clearly this task is not that hard. I can keep up with it. I can keep doing it because I already am, you know, almost there, or I'm getting there most days. So it's not difficult for me to sort of pay a little bit more attention to it.
Exactly. And it even has shortcut support. So you could theoretically create an automation in shortcuts that when you open the Books app, automatically marks your reading habit as complete for you.
That is awesome. I was wondering about that. I saw that it said use Siri, and I didn't know, you know, what that was going to involve. Okay. That, do you have any other examples of how Siri could come in handy?
Well, I tend to only use it pretty much to track things of when I open apps, because there are a couple of apps that I use. So I've been trying an app called Oak for meditation. And it's really nice that when I open that app, it can automatically log that I am working on my meditation for the day. And so I actually don't have to think about that. By doing one action, I automatically mark my habit as done. And so that integration, like you said, with the health app, it's one less thing to think about.
And I bet I could. So There's an entry in the health app that is toothbrushing. And right now you have to have, there's only one toothbrush that works with Apple Health that you can use to automatically mark your toothbrushing whenever you do it. And so it tells you, you know, how long you brushed, What would be nice is if I could say, hey, boo-boo, I brushed my teeth, and then it automatically marks that in the Streaks app. Now, I personally don't, that's not a habit that I need to keep up because I do that anyway, but if someone wanted to just sort of keep track, like, oh, I forgot to brush my teeth last night before I went to bed, I want to take extra care the next day or something like that, I could see how that could be handy.
Yeah. And if Shortcuts ever get support for toothbrushing, then you'll be more easily able to track it with
Wait a second, with
Siri.
So, Shortcuts doesn't have toothbrushing support?
No. So they have support for all of the health things that were out before iOS 13, but all the stuff that came with iOS 13. So the different symptoms associated with menstruation cycles and toothbrushing and stuff like that is not yet available inside of Shortcuts, unfortunately.
Interesting. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that that gets added soon.
I'm sure the team are working on it. So
yes. Whether you know that officially or not, we'll just have to.
No, as in, I'm sure that they are, because this is a new Apple feature, and it would be silly of Apple to not try and get everybody to integrate support for it, right?
Right. Agreed. All right. So that is Streaks, available for $4.99 in the App Store. And in my opinion, well worth that $4.99. I do believe that Streaks makes another app that is an exercise app. And I remember that when Russell Ivanovich was a guest on the show, he talked very well about the Streaks. I need to remember what it's called. Let's see.
I think it's called Streaks Workout. And you can actually get the two of them in a bundle together. It's called the New Year's Resolution Bundle, where you can get them both a little bit of a discount.
Very nice. Yes. Streaks and Streaks Workout. All right, Rosemary, what's next on your list?
The next one is not quite as pretty, but it's extremely functional. It's When Did I? And this is a bit of a weird name, because you think that there's going to be more after the name to finish the sentence, but there isn't. It's just called When Did I? And it's for tracking when you last did things. I should note, the default theme is so not my favorite. Bright yellow and cyan is weird, but you can change the theme in the app. And it's really nice for tracking, like, when did I last have a haircut, or when did I last floss my teeth, or something like that. So it's more for longer spaced out things. So like hair, like, you know, getting your haircut and stuff like that, and seeing the dentist versus actually flossing.
Oh.
That's something you probably want is Streaks. But it's nice, because then when I'm thinking maybe I need a haircut, I can look and see, actually I had last had a haircut 2 months ago. So yeah, it's probably time. Versus just taking a guess and trying to scroll through my calendar.
So I've done a thing. I've broken the app. I can't get out of the settings screen.
Oh, dear. So I use this app exclusively on my iPhone, so I've not run into that.
Let me see. Maybe if I add something.
I think you need to add something first.
Okay. Yes, replace the fire alarm batteries would be nice.
Yes. So, for example, things like that. And now you have one of these tasks, and you can go into the settings and change the themes. And if you just tap on one of them, one of the habits, then it will mark it as done for you.
Aha.
So there you go. You have choices, purple and blue and all sorts of things.
I'll just be great for that.
Which makes it a little bit less offensive to the eyes than the yellow and cyan that was previously available.
Very bright.
So if you tap it, then it just marks it as done right then. And then you can go into it and you can view your history of when you last did something. And then you can view that whole history of things as well. So when you change your smoke alarm batteries, you can mark it as done and check, when did I do it before? Okay. And set a reminder to do it again.
I did that in April.
Well then.
So it's been 8 months since I have last replaced the fire alarm batteries, and I won't have to do it again for 4 years. Or something like that. Cool. Okay. So this, I kind of like this idea, like you said, for, I don't remember quite when I went last time to get my hair cut, which I very much need again. And I, might not remember when I last replaced the filters in my reverse osmosis water purification dealy. So to have that, to be able to just simply tap and that's it, and then I can know again whenever it comes time to, that's quite nice.
I find it really useful for exactly things like that. You know, when did I last clean the filters in the apartment around the air circulation system and other things? You know, these are things that you don't want to be trying to keep track of in a note system or something, because then everything gets mixed up and you just don't do it. So spending a couple of minutes to set up something like this, and you can change the icons associated with things as well. And it sort of has shortcut support, but I find just opening the app to be pretty useful for things like that. So.
Yeah, very cool. And then you kind of get a little list of all the things that you have done that you're keeping track of. So it's a little bit of a reminder, too, anytime you go in there to tap on something else.
Exactly.
I dig it. Anything else about when did I?
I just think it's one of those things where you'll start by adding one or two things that you want to keep track of, and then you find that there's actually five or six things. So I've been adding to this since the start of the new year, and I've only got the four things in there at the moment, like getting a haircut, getting my eyebrows done, and they've got a cleaner thing in our toilet that needs changing every 8 weeks. So I've got that in there as well. But I'm just going to slowly add to it as the year goes on. And then at the end of the year, I can look back and see, okay, these were all the things that I thought I should do on a semi-regular basis. What maybe do I need to do as my resolution for 2021?
Gotcha. So what is next on your list?
The next one is more about seeing what it is that you do so that you can try and form better habits.
Okay.
And this is called Life Wheel. And Life Wheel, the idea is it just is going to track what you do throughout your day without you specifying that I am currently doing this exact task, and you don't have to basically do anything other than set it up and leave it running on your iPhone. And it then tries to create a wheel of your life for you so that when you leave somewhere, it might pop up and go, hey, what were you doing at this place? And you can mark it as you're spending time with family and friends, or maybe you were at the cinema or the gym, and it learns, and then it automatically assigns time to different areas of your life based on where and when you were at different places. And it builds some really beautiful pie charts in the end.
Yeah,
after
I'm answering some of these questions, and it feels like therapy a little bit.
Yeah, so it's kind of like therapy, but the idea is that then if you're feeling down, you can have a look at it and go, okay, so when do I feel better? Well, when I was feeling better, actually, it turns out I was visiting these friends. Well, maybe I should go see them again. I haven't seen them in a while. Yes, and it also does ask you about shopping habits, which is a little bit intriguing.
Yeah, I have a healthy lifestyle and eat healthy. I think so, yeah. I'm totally satisfied. Oh, yeah, this is kind of personal.
It's perfect. Yes, I like it.
Oh, this is good. I like this. I'm usually happy and in harmony with myself. So starts with a free trial. Is it pay to play the whole time, or is there like a non-premium version or something?
I am not quite sure. I think if we scroll down on the page that's currently displayed on everyone's screens, it will display there. I'm grandfathered in on an older version. But I'm pretty certain that you can get everything for, I think it's $2.99 a month. And it pairs with Sleep Cycle, which is a really great sleep tracking application as well.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I can see it looks like it unlocks all features if you join the subscription. But it's pretty cool.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, I'm just using the free version. That's it. I remember now. And so it takes a little bit of time and it builds then a really beautiful pie chart to show you exactly what's going on with your life.
Yeah, this is really nice. Boom.
Yeah. The only thing is it does need to always have access to your location, which might theoretically drain battery, though I have to say I have not noticed any adverse effects with this application at all. And it then just pops up about once a week and lets you know how you're doing with the different areas of your life and shows you what you've done. And you can break it down into daily or go out to monthly type views just to see where your time is going.
Yeah, that is I quite like that for the reason that sometimes you do need to have that check-in, and it's hard whenever you are living, when you're living your life to remember that those check-ins sort of need to take place. And we, you know, get caught up in everything and don't necessarily take that time, and to have something there to sort of have us focus our attention on it is quite nice to sort of, you know, hone in and pay attention.
Yes. And unlike most time tracking, which is out there, you don't have to stop and go, I'm currently doing this, I'm currently doing that, and interrupt your life to figure this out. It will come back to you later and say, hey, you were approximately this place for 3.5 hours. What did you do there? And then you can say, well, that's the cinema and I was there watching, you know, like 3 films in a row, or I was out for dinner with a friend. And it will then remember that information. So that's the next time you go to that location, it can suggest again what you were doing there. And you can always go back in and change something. If, you know, for example, you went to dinner at the shopping mall and then you went to the cinema at the shopping mall. Well, there are two different places inside of a shopping mall. It's kind of difficult for your phone to differentiate where you are.
Right.
But you can tell. So you can always correct it.
Okay. I dig it. I'm just making sure I have all of the apps that you are suggesting so that way I can tap through them while we're chatting here. So up next, I'm not sure how to pronounce this one.
I have no idea how to pronounce this one, but it had a really cute, colorful owl on the front, which made me download it on New Year's Eve when I was being very optimistic about my life. And I've been trying it ever since then. So I'm going to call it Romente.
Yeah.
It's for self-improvement. It's a life coach application, but it's got some habit tracking built in. So you set goals and it has a series of suggested goals and then it breaks them down for you. And I really like that because then it helps you build habits with a specific goal in mind. And of course, our goals are usually to improve our lives, but improving your life can take many, many different forms.
That's true. I like that so far, all I did was I tapped let's go, and then
oh, no.
The option says next step, next.
Okay, this is a little bit different to what it was like for me. There we go. I have not signed up for the subscription yet. I am debating it, but my current focus is health and fitness. And you can choose a focus. There are 8 different focus options to choose from. So there's friends and social life, finances, personal development, love and relationships, fun and recreation, family and career and education. And then it has a life balance, which is kind of similar to life wheel. And you can see, you know, a history based on this information. And it asks you regularly to do some check-ins and to update things and say how you feel that you're doing. Are you doing really well with love and relationships? Are you doing quite well with health and fitness or less well? And it's a sliding scale from 1 to 10. And this builds a really lovely little wheel so that you can then just, you know, see what you feel you're rating your life as right now. And then you can pick from one of their many goals and select something to try and work on.
Nice. And it looks here that they also do support the ability to link up with HomeKit, or sorry, with HealthKit, So that way it can keep track of your data automatically, which is quite nice again. For the sake of, so for example, I added the goal of walking 10,000 steps a day, and it says, it says, we recommend activating Google Health Kit or Apple Health to allow your phone to count your steps in the background.
Yes, which is really useful for those people who might also have Androids in their lives. Either the, you know, robot type Android or, you know, an Android phone.
Yes.
Take a pick.
If you have an Android in your life.
Providing it supports that Google Health system, then you're good to go.
Yeah, and then I could see eventually, once I start doing this, I can track, like you said, those insights.
Yes,
as well,
and
as my mood.
If you just tap on the insight tracking, then you can actually, there should be an option there to update it. There you go. And then you can just go through and set how you're feeling on a slider for each of these. So you can say that your love and relationships is feeling really good.
I'm just
and it will
say
build
it's
a whole, in your case, very, very, very small
I'm
circle.
Just having a bad time, all ones here.
But that's okay, because the next time you do it, it is going to
Go up.
Get better.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we'll save that. Yeah,
and
so my circle's a little sad right now.
If they were all 10, then this would be a very bright and beautiful and big, colorful circle.
But then, you know, you don't want to lie. You don't want to lie to the
no,
app.
No.
I'm sorry for making it non-colorful, folks. No,
okay.
I do like this. This is great. And then there's where you can go in and activate health. Well,
yes, if you're on
your
supported
iPhone.
Device.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Come on, Apple. We need health on iPads.
Yeah,
if
it
only
does.
Only for Mac to demonstrate it.
Right. It's so easy. I'm sure it's not so easy, but it's so easy in the sense that it makes sense to have it here. Because everything that's in the health app would look fantastic. Those charts and graphs and things on the big
iPad
screen.
Actually showing your doctor an ECG and them not going, wait a moment, I need to get my microscope.
Right. Yes, exactly. Let me put, okay. I see a spike there. Yeah, that would be quite nice. I can just, just zoom in. You see this? This is atrial fibrillation.
Yes.
And then you pass out. Okay. Let's move on to the next app you have, which has an adorable name.
Don't Break the Chain?
Oh, I thought it was Goal Buddy.
Oh, right.
Is that next?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Goal Buddy was originally in the list, and I ran into some issues with it, so I decided that I wasn't very happy with it.
Okay. Well, let's do Don't Break the Chain, DBTC.
Yes, which is what it shows on your home screen. The native color scheme for this application is white and red, which I personally found a little negative. So I've changed my color scheme to be a lovely shade of purple instead. And you only set the one thing to start with. And the idea is that you build a chain and you don't break it. And for people who haven't heard of Don't Break the Chain, I believe this stems from Jerry Seinfeld. I read about it on Lifehacker years ago. And the idea is that you have to do something every day. It doesn't matter how badly you do it every day, but you have to do it every day if you want to be good at it.
Okay. So let's see.
You
today
just tap
the
on
sixth.
Today if you've done something today, and that's it.
Oh.
Now it's done, and you've got to build a chain of those X's, and you've just got to keep it going.
Okay.
Yeah.
And don't break it.
Yeah. And if you open the menu on your left, then you can add more goals.
Okay. That's...
So that you can keep all of them. But you only focus on one at a time, which means that in comparison to something like Streaks, you only see your success or failure with regards to one habit at a time. So that can be both good and bad, depending on your motivation in life.
Right. Which my current motivation is to eat a whole lemon every day.
Oh,
so
okay.
Let's see. Well, you should probably make that yellow.
Probably.
For lemons. I can get some motivational text for it. That's quite nice.
Yes.
And then if I wanted to, I can share my progress. So,
so you can share your progress.
Go ahead and tweet that I'm eating one whole lemon a day. And we'll see what people have to say about that. Great. One day in, the first step was the hardest. Let me tell you, it was sour. It made me cry. But I feel different now.
Okay. Have you tried grapefruit? They're also kind of sour, but not as sour as lemon.
Yeah. See, if I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna go all in.
Okay.
For my resolutions this year. So that's Don't Break the Chain. Don't Break the Chain. That's also a free app. There is an in-app purchase of $3.99 to go pro, which I know removes the ads for one thing, and I am not certain. And then you can also tip if you would like to afterwards. I quite like that method versus the subscription service. It can get a little bit, oh my goodness, I have all of these subscriptions renewing. But the ability to, you know, I pay to buy the app, and then later on down the line, I'm like, you know what? I've been using this app every day to make sure I eat my lemon. And with that, then I get the option to send them some more money. And you know what? I may be more likely to send that $11.99, which was the value for the large tip, which I think is quite nice. So are you using Don't Break the Chain regularly, or is this just one that you knew was available and is great?
So I put it in here because I downloaded it on New Year's Day, and there's one specific habit that I'm trying to build aside from my vitamin taking, which is I want to write every day this year. I don't have to write a lot, but I do have to write more than a tweet, which kind of seems hard sometimes because a tweet is so short. So I'm putting that in there just because I want to keep track of my writing. And I don't feel like it belongs in Streaks, because Streaks is more general life things that I track. Right. And so I wanted a separate place to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. And I like, again, there's something to the gamification of it whenever there's that chain there that you don't want to break and you want to keep it going, and it looks nice. And by the way, some folks in the chat are talking, my friend ate lemons and ended up being told by her dentist to stop. Her enamel was eroding. Folks, that was just the first weirdest resolution I could think of that was an innocent resolution. I'm not planning on eating a lemon every day or even ever at all, except in other things. I just thought, what's a weird resolution I can have? And that's what came up. And so you don't break the chain by eating a lemon every day.
Well, if you eat chocolate before the lemon, then that might help protect the enamel on your teeth.
You know what? I'm not going to do that either, but thank you for the tip.
I'm just guessing, because my dentist suggested it at one point before eating apples, because the apples can be surprisingly acidic.
So, I had no idea. So is the chocolate must be more basic to sort of counteract the acidity of the apple?
I have no idea how it works. My dentist may also have been joking. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
But any excuse to eat chocolate is good with me.
You know what? Amen. And you can also track your toothbrushing habit by, after eating an apple, brushing your teeth. You get that acid off of there.
There we go.
Don't break the chain. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one. This one is a fancy, fancy app that I quite like. And I think, again, talking about the gamification nature, is Habitica. Habitica. Habitica is essentially an RPG that is based on habit tracking. It's also one that you can use with friends, and it lets you all sort of work together. You can go on missions and take down baddies and things like that. And the way that you improve your character, you know, gaining more hit points and mana, is by experience, which you collect by completing tasks. So I created a little character who has an adorable little hat. I don't know if I can, I can't see my character any closer, which is kind of sad. But my little character has 50 hit points, has 6 out of 25 experience, and has not unlocked mana. That doesn't happen until level 10, but does have 1 gold coin and no diamonds. Those diamonds, which are forever, are things that you purchase with real money. So this is a little bit pay-to-play kind of thing, but you don't have to do that. So you set up your habits of things that you want to do, things that you don't want to do. And so, for example, there's eat health and junk food. You want to eat health food. You don't want to eat junk food. But if you eat junk food, you tap the minus button and it will take some of your health away.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
And so you can see it removed some of my experience. It would take some of my, it didn't remove my experience. It removed some of my health, and it would remove some mana if I had that unlocked. But look, I just ate some health food, and that is going to give me some experience. But you can see that my health is still 47 out of 50. But I wonder, if I did 10 minutes of cardio, it's still only giving, how do I regain my health? Oh no. I'm dying.
Well, not eating junk food. Apparently, it's really bad for you. That's not good.
Let's just say I did 30 minutes of cardio. Aha! I've reached level 2. My health is regained. Got to share that as well. Folks are just going to be very confused about my Twitter this morning. Oh,
that's okay.
Maybe not. Maybe we aren't going to share that. That's cool. Love that. Love that for you. Okay, so no sharing, but it does allow me to continue moving on. And now that I'm at level 2. So there are daily things that I've set up here. So do your daily workout routine and make sure you floss. Absolutely, I flossed. And so I would get +1 mana and I get some fighting skills as well. Then you can set up to-dos. So it's not just your daily routines or your habits that you want to do, but it's also to-dos as well. So I set up a workout schedule and I brainstormed a healthy change. Yes, which was to eat a lemon every day. And then you can collect rewards again. So now I could get this? A training sword. Yes, I would like to buy that for 1 gold. Now my character has a sword. How nice. And you can see that if you gained 20 gold, then you can reward yourself by eating a nice treat, playing a game, watching TV, whatever you want to do. So you can use that. Basically, this is a way to gamify every aspect of your to-do, your calendar, and your habits all in one place. And it kind of relies, obviously, on the honor system. I'm over here tapping and cheating away. But if you hold to it, you hold true, then it can help you gain rewards and set up, you know, things for that. So you can also add personalized rewards. So maybe I want, you know, a cookie and the cookie costs this much in order to claim that reward. And then, as I mentioned, this is the tavern is sort of the social media that is built into the app. And so there are actual players that have all joined. And it's the whole community where you can conversate with them and check into the inn, as it were, a party that you can set up. So again, if you want to go out and defeat beasties, you take on quests with your friends, and that is done by completing your tasks. And so I love that built-in accountability that is actual real-life accountability. I believe friend of both of us and friend of the internet, Aline Sims, has used Habitica in the past. And that is how I heard about this app for them in the beginning. And so you can also end up creating guilds and then setting up different challenges as well. And then, as I mentioned, there are some things that you have to, gain through paying. And then as you go out on quests, you can get little eggs that can then hatch into mounts that you get to have, which is kind of fun. And that is Habitica. So once again, I think the thing about Habitica that is most important and the thing that I like is that it is integrated with your friends. And there's something about that accountability that's quite nice. If you have friends that you trust and you sort of want something that keeps you more locked in than you normally would be, Habitica can be that thing, because your friend could nag you and say, "We're going to lose this quest if you don't do your 10 push-ups for today." And then you're like, "Okay, I'm going to get them done." And then you can tap, "Yes, I did it. Wow, I'm eating more healthy food. Look at me. I'm gaining experience." But of course you don't.
And this is why I'm not friends with my company, Habitica.
Yes, exactly. I've reached level 3. It still won't let
me
share. Darn it. All right. That is Habitica. The next one on my list is called Productive Habit Tracker. Mm-hmm. By the way, Habitica is free to download with in-app purchases. You can get a subscription as well, which gives you access to some more features. Productive is the Habit Tractor. Yes. Hop on the Habit Tractor, folks. We are going to stick to them this year. I'm going to...
Is there a hayride involved?
There's hay rides. There's pumpkin patches. There's apple pie afterward. And you are going to bale some hay, brush your teeth, and get along, little doggy. Let's talk about the habit tracking app, not the Habit Tractor app, called Productive. So this is a very, 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 very simple app. I quite like, again, the design of the app, but I was kind of almost underwhelmed with the simplicity of it. You can see your stats, so you get to see, you know, sort of the streak that you've set up as you've done your tasks. You can set up habits, so you change, you know, the order of the habits here and see how well you've done in any given task that you've set up. And so I'll go to today and I'll add, what is it that I'd like to do? Is it a one-time task that I need to complete, or is it a habit that I'm trying to set up? We'll go into, and this is the one thing that I do like about the app, other than the design, is that it can help you. Because sometimes you're like, yeah, I know I want to add some good habits to my life, but maybe I don't know exactly what those are, particularly in something like self-care. So I'll tap here, and maybe I want to make sure that, oh man, I need to get outdoors. I want to do that daily for sure. And there are like fun little icons you can choose from. So maybe I'll change that to a pretty tree. And of course, I'm going to change it to green. And I want to do this every day. When will I do it? Well, I just want to do it at some point during the day. You can set timers. So the task is not completed unless you do it for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or however long. I want you to remind me when I get to this location to do this, or I want you to remind me at specific times. So I think I would add, Micah, if you go outside for 5 minutes, that's not really going outside. You need to at least spend 20 minutes outside to be able to mark this habit as good. And so now you see at any time I need to get outdoors, and when I do, boop, then I can start that task. Let's see. Start the timer, and then it will go. And when it is done, then I can mark it off. So, yes, I want to quit now. And so you can see that, well, no, I didn't mark that task because I didn't quite complete it. So again, this is your today view that shows you sort of what tasks you need to do morning, afternoon, and night, and what all day tasks you have. And then from there, it's very simple in terms of the different tasks that are available. So not a whole lot involved here, but I almost like that. I kind of like an app that is simply designed, particularly for folks who, I think habit tracking is a thing that everybody can and does want to do. And so where, you know, we might have an iOS today where we talk about what you need to do to get the most out of your iPad as a writer, that's going to be very specific people that can use more in-depth apps for writing. But when it comes to, you know, my little brother says, boy, howdy, I sure would like to remember that I need to get the eggs out of the chicken coop in the morning. I can send him this app, and it's just as easy for him to use as, you know, it is for anyone. Versus something more complicated that has all these extra features and steps and subcategories and things like that. So this is a great app for, I think, anyone to use to do habit tracking and streak watching.
Yes.
That's Productive, the habit tracker, not tractor, and it is available for free with in-app purchases. And the last app that I want to talk about is called Today. Today is a very beautifully designed app. It is not available for iPad. It is only available for your iOS. I guess I can say that now. I was going to say iOS was on iPad, but now it's iPadOS. So it's only available for your iOS devices, and it does have an Apple Watch companion. This one is quite simple. I can go in and let's add. So toothbrushing was the one that I used as an example that I set up this morning, but I want to add a new one. So what is Rosemary? I made up a fake habit, which was to eat a lemon every day. What is the fake habit that you want me to add to the Today app?
Oh, I would like you to eat a stick of butter every single
day. Oh, yummy. Gotta love it. Yes,
I think that's going to really help with the lemon thing.
I think you're right. It'll balance it out. Yeah. Especially whenever you know, you have some butter, you have some lemon, the butter sort of coagulates.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's going to be wonderful.
Yes. Oh, is there a butter emoji? Let's see.
There. I think there is butter.
I believe there is.
I know there's bread.
There's butter.
There we go.
So I'll tap next. And when do I want to do? Well, obviously daily, just Fairly. Once a day. So I'm not going to allow multiple check-ins. I'm only eating a stick of butter once a day. Sorry.
That might be going too far.
Yeah. And then I can optionally set up one or more reminders for this habit. So basically outside of the normal reminders that today will send, it will also say, hey, did you eat that butter? So I'm not going to set up any more reminders than I already have that are set up default in the settings. I'll tap next again. And then when do I want it? Well, obviously I'm starting today. And then I choose a cover for it. So I can choose covers from today. These are the ones that they have built in. So you can see that grapes one that I had. And clearly these blueberries in granola are what you would want for tracking your butter intake. You can also take a photo or choose from the camera roll. So if I had a stick of butter, I would take a photo of that. And then I tap check. And then it is, along with my other check-in. Whoops, let me see. There we go. So you can see that your streak and everything like that, all available here. And again, if you wanted to do them earlier, you can long press on a date to, tap on a date to add that to your streak. But what I'll do is just you hold down. Okay, maybe not. Oh no, it's double tap, isn't it? Yeah. Double tap and boom, I've eaten my stick of butter for the day. And you can see there's my little, have you done it 7 days? And then you have it done. So I have eaten my stick of butter. I'll go back toothbrushing. I meant to do at least twice a day. So I'll tap and ba-ba-da-da, the goal has been achieved. Why it has grapes in the background is beyond me, but that is what I went with. So you can see there are my two check-ins for the day and it will start to keep track of it. So this is a very, very pretty app that, once again, kind of like what you were talking about with the, I believe it was the Streaks app, opening up the app and just holding down and checking it done is really kind of a nice experience. This works the same way where I open the app and I just double tap anywhere on the screen and boom, you know, it's marked that I've eaten my toothbrush for the day. I mean, brushed my teeth for the day and it's available right there. So it's quite nice.
Yes, I like that one. It's very pretty. And I would also just like to report that if you search for Habit Tractor in the App Store, then at the very least in the UK App Store, it comes up with Productive Habit Tracker. So you're good there.
Oh, good. So yeah, Habit Tractor, Habit Tracker. You know what? I need to make an app called Habit Tractor. And it's just like Don't Break the Chain, but it's a little tractor instead. And it goes along, and then on the back are little bales of hay that get collected. And then those are for habits. And then for tasks, it's like a little cart that has an animal inside. And so your little tractor's puddling along, and behind it are these little bales of hay and animals that you collect as you complete all your tasks. Don't steal my idea. It's mine, and it's called Habit Tractor. Take a habit break. I love it. That's the Oliver Tractor Company, founded by my family in 1473. All right, folks, we are going to take a break from this nonsense before we come back to talk about the news and some feedback and our app picks of the week. I am here with Rosemary Orchard, the very awesome, very cool superstar of all things iOS, all things automation, and so much more. Rosemary, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Alrighty, this episode of iOS Today is brought to you by our pals at Mint Mobile. You know them. They've got that beautiful, adorable little green fox. I've got a little green fox Mint Mobile air freshener in my car. And so I get to hang out with Mint Mobile all the time. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers this year, have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. There aren't any of those stores. There aren't any inflated prices. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes those savings directly to you. I have a Mint mobile SIM that I have actually in this iPad right here. It lets me connect to the wireless network wherever I happen to be and be able to maintain that connection regardless of where I am. The service has been great. It's been steadfast and I can count on it. Sometimes even when my phone that has, you know, one of the big carriers inside doesn't have signal, I go to my iPad and bada bing, bada boom, there it is. It's working just fine. So I'm quite happy with Mint Mobile. Plus, of course, that easy approach of just going online, getting the plan that I want, having the SIM get shipped to me, and boom, it's there and I'm ready to activate my account. There's also a Mint Mobile SIM in the Android device that I have and use because, yes, I have to be a man of two worlds in this modern. I know, Rosemary, I know. But it is the way, and Mint Mobile.
You think you know somebody, and then they tell you they have an Android device.
Well, even though I have to break people's hearts by having an Android device, I am happy that Mint Mobile makes it so easy to cut my wireless bill down to just $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. And with Mint Mobile, you stop paying for unlimited data you never use. You choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. That's right. You don't need to switch up phones. You don't need to worry about some contract plan where you get the phone and you're paying it off. Use the phone you already have. With any Mint Mobile plan, you don't have to change numbers. You don't have to worry about that. It's just slip that SIM in and move along. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. Now, to get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan and get the plan shipped to your door for free, you go to mintmobile.com/iOS. Again, let's talk about that. That's $15 a month with a three-month introductory plan. You get that plan shipped to your door for free. Wow. You go to mintmobile.com/iOS. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month with their three-month introductory plan at mintmobile.com/iOS. Thank you so much to Mint Mobile for their support of this show and for your support of the beautiful scent in my car. Thanks, Mint Mobile. All righty. What do we have in the news? Well, first things first. It's emoji time. This is...
Always need more emojis.
Always, always. And now you can get them engraved on your AirPods. It used to be, it was just text that you could get engraved on the front of your AirPods. But Apple has added some, not all, but some emoji to the options for engraving. So you can customize your emoji with a dragon, an alien head, a heart, a star, whatever your heart desires, you can customize and personalize your AirPods in that way.
Personally, I need the smiling pile of poop engraved on my next pair of AirPods.
Yes, yes.
Just because it's entertaining.
See, we wouldn't know whose was whose because that's exactly what I would do. I would want to have the smiling pile of poo on
mine.
Well,
you say that, but I've actually put my AirPods Pro in this nice little rubbery case because on the back there's a little opening, but it just means that they don't slide out of my hand whenever I go to pick them up, which I was really scared of because when I got my first pair of AirPods on the day they released, I walked into a store, I managed to get some. They slid out of my hand the day after. And they were dented.
I
was sad.
Now, who
so
makes
I
that,
got this for these. And I'm really happy with it. And I wouldn't see it anymore. So,
yes, that's true. Who makes that case?
This is by ESR, but there is also ones from Elago. And I believe 12 Stealth are coming out with their AirSnap for AirPods Pro as well. All of which will hide these wonderful emojis.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. So you would just have to get an emoji sticker instead to put on the front. But so there's sort of a mixed opinion that people have for getting engravings. Obviously, when you get something engraved, particularly with your name, the resale value of that device drops quite a bit. I never get my phones or iPad devices.
Do they even engrave iPhones? Because they have glass back.
That's true.
Not phones.
Thank you. The iPad you could get engraved, and I never did that because, again, I did not want the resale value to drop in case I ever wanted to sell it, or if I just was going to give it to my family member. I mean, I don't think they want my name on the back of their device.
On the other hand, that would be a really good way to hand off a device and then steal it back and be like, actually, it's not yours. It's got my name on it.
Yeah, this has my name on it. So, I guess if I was ever starting an iOS museum, then I could, you know, claim. Because what is it? Possession is 9/10 of the law. I think, though, the emoji, you know, that's not so unique that it would drop the resale value across the board unless you find someone who hates emoji and you're trying to sell your device to them and then they're very unhappy and choose not to purchase it because you have a smiling pile of poo on the front of it.
I'm wondering how big the resale market is for something like AirPods, though, or AirPods Pro, because they're pretty personal devices.
Yeah,
you stick
please.
Them in your ears, they get covered in earwax and other gunky, disgusting stuff. Like, do you really want to buy secondhand AirPods?
Oh, no. Actually, I don't even want to think about it. Second ear AirPods. Oh, gross. Oh, I'm grossed out.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to gross you out. Alcohol wipes. Let's just clean your ears and we'll be all good here.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, you do have a point there, though. And it could be why Apple is, you know, offering the engraving here where it is not necessarily elsewhere. These are very personal devices. And as we've come to find out, iFixit makes it very clear how non-repairable these devices are. So they're kind of a one user, one product lifetime device anyway.
Yes.
So let's move on to the next topic. According to Flurry, Apple absolutely killed it over the holiday week. It turns out that of the top 10 devices that were activated during the holiday week, nine out of 10 of those devices were devices made by Apple. So you've got, that's wild. You've got the iPhone 11, the iPhone XR, the iPhone 7, iPhone 8, the 11 Pro Max, the 8 Plus, the 6 Plus, the 7 Plus, and the 10 took 9 of the 10 top spots for activations between Christmas Day, 12/25, and New Year's Eve, 12/31. Xiaomi's Mi 4 LTE took the 10th spot. Wow.
I'm wondering how iPads did and AirPods and Apple Watches, because those are cheaper devices as well. You know, even an iPhone 7 or 8 is not quite as cheap as an iPad, I think. And I know that a lot of people got those for Christmas, and I've seen quite a few people receive AirPods for Christmas, which they were very happy about.
Yes.
So I'm not surprised that Apple did really well, but it's amazing that they're taking 9 out of the top phone activations.
Yeah, that's wild to me. Clearly, those are devices that people are wanting for Christmas. It was funny, there was a Netflix movie, a holiday movie, and it was, it was called Noel. No, was that Netflix or was that Disney Plus? It might have been Disney Plus. It doesn't matter. The show's called Noel, and it is about Santa's daughter and son and family, basically, and sort of this family lineage of people who do the presents every year. And they kept having this running joke about how everybody wanted iPads for Christmas. And so, you're supposed to know as Santa what a person wants for Christmas. And so he's trying to figure it out. And it might be something else like, oh, I want a toy truck. And then it was always like, and an iPad.
I'm going to give them this. iPads and iPhones and AirPods all come in these beautiful square or rectangular boxes, which makes them so easy to wrap. So I'm going to give Apple 10 out of 10 on that.
Yep. I think you're right. Yeah, that is exactly what it is. It's the packaging. You know, there was a recent study done. The study showed that, and this kind of makes sense, but it was kind of nice to have it just out there. Some people, myself included, take the time to perfectly wrap a gift. You just use 3 pieces of tape at max. You tie a ribbon on it. You add a bow. You do a little tag. Maybe you spritz it with some nice gingerbread musk. And you, dip it in eggnog, and then you put it under the tree, and it's beautiful and perfect. And it turns out that when you do that, the expectations for the gift are much, much higher. And so if you would only just wrap all of your presents in some newspaper and tie it with old shoelaces, the expectations are set so low that regardless of the gift that's inside, the person is more likely to be wowed and amazed by it. But if I put some, I don't know, hand-knitted oven mitts in this perfectly wrapped present and the person was expecting an iPad, then they're going to be disappointed more likely than if I had put the hand-knitted oven mitts into, again, a newspaper with some shoelaces tied around it.
I'm going to try the newspaper and shoelaces approach next year. I do remember my parents telling me a story of shortly after they got married, they were opening Christmas presents, and my dad borrowed some of the wrapping paper that had been torn off a present already and snuck off. And my mom was a bit confused. And then he came back with their house phone underneath the wrapping paper. She was very confused, but thought it was hilarious because, you know, her expectations were set extremely low. They had just got a quite expensive, I think, for that time, new house phone.
Oh, so. Nice. Okay. I like that. Yeah. It's just like, it's under here. Open it. Oh, it's yes. A new phone.
Oh.
That's great. This I particularly wanted to talk to you about because you are an iPad super user, and Bridge has a new device they've announced. Pre-orders begin tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, January 7th at 11 a.m. PST. Pre-orders begin January 7th. This is the Bridge Pro Plus wireless keyboard. What does that say? Does that say with a trackpad? Yes, it does. Leo and I both have Bridge Pro keyboards for our iPads. We've talked about them before.
I do as well. You do? Right here.
Oh, excellent. Perfect. And I certainly like mine. I am currently using the Smart Keyboard because the Bridge Pro is pretty heavy. That's the one thing that I don't quite like about it. But I do like how it turns my iPad into what feels like a little MacBook, which is kind of nice. And now they're becoming even more MacBook. Can you talk to us about how you can even have a trackpad on your iPad? How is that possible? I thought this was just a finger pointing screen.
Well, it is a finger pointing screen, but there's this accessibility thing which lets you add a pointing device, otherwise known as a mouse or maybe a trackpad.
Wait, are you currently using that mouse with your iPad?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Very cool.
I really like it. And there are some various settings that you can change in the accessibility preferences because you have to turn on assistive touch, which by default puts a nice black box on your screen with a little circle in it. But if you connect a pointing device, what we would call a trackpad or a mouse, then you can actually turn that menu off and have that hidden, which is really, really useful if you want to use a mouse with your iPad. And you can also crank down the size of this assistive touch widget or crank it all the way up if you want it to cover half your screen. And it allows you to use a mouse or a trackpad. Now, I have a few reservations about this product because I have connected my Apple trackpad to my iPad Pro. And so I used a USB-C to Lightning cable to connect it. But you can't actually then unplug it. It has to stay plugged in order for you to use it because that they're using something weird there and it's not quite using the same Bluetooth as everything else, I guess. It doesn't really matter because clearly Bridge have got a Bluetooth trackpad in this so you don't have to plug it in. But you can only click and move. Whereas with my mouse, because I have multiple buttons, so I have a left click and a right click, and I also have a few buttons here on the side and even on the top, you can actually program these to do different things.
No way. So I can program
them to open the assistive touch menu. I can program them to run shortcuts.
No way.
Yeah.
That's really
cool. That's why I have a mouse connected. That's my secret.
Now, is that a Logitech mouse?
Yeah, this is a Logitech Anywhere 2S mouse. So it's a really nice little mouse. It's very small. It's ambidextrous, which is nice if I want to mouse with my left hand or my right hand. And it works really well. But I think the trackpad is an excellent idea. And kudos to Bridge for being the first people to release something that actually has a trackpad in that should work. But I'm not sure how great the trackpad experience is going to be, especially because it's going to be quite small.
Right,
it looks
right.
fairly wide, which is nice, but you don't have a lot of vertical space, yeah. unfortunately.
It's so, certainly I'm not wondering. In comparison to the gigantic trackpads that are on MacBook Pros. this is much smaller. Now, Bridge has also announced that they are releasing a standalone iPad OS trackpad, which looks a whole heck of a lot like the Magic trackpad that Apple sells. This one will be coming out later after the iPad Pro Bridge Pro Plus that has the trackpad built in. But
yeah.
It is much bigger than the built-in trackpad on the Bridge Pro Plus.
That said, I mean, if you look at this 11-inch Pro for mm-hmm. for the Bridge, for the 11-inch iPad Pro, how much space is on this for a trackpad?
Oh my, yeah, there's not a lot of space down there.
I can just about squish my four fingers into this area. So that's going to be a very tiny little trackpad. And I'm not sure if I'm probably going to run into the space bar all the time, which at least in Safari will then scroll me down the screen if that's what I'm trying to do. But I'm not sure how I feel about it. And I'm hoping maybe I can get a review version so I can take a look at it and, you know, actually give it a full review and see how awesomely I'm hoping it works.
Yeah, my fingers are crossed as well that it works well, because I think the folks at Bridge are making some really cool, really innovative products. And this trackpad is clearly something that folks who are iOS and iPadOS power users can take advantage of. I had no idea about the button use with shortcuts. That's very, very, very cool. I'm going to have
yes.
to chat with you about that so I can figure out what mouse I need to get for my iPad Pro so I can start yeah. working with that magic.
Well, the mouse I've got right here is pretty darn awesome. And it's nice and small, so you can actually take it places with your iPad. Though when I'm at work, I do have a big fancy ergonomic Logitech mouse that I use with it as well that has a few extra buttons on top.
Nice. Well, I'm going to have you send a link to that mouse that you have so we can include it in the show notes so that folks can get one if they want one to work with their iPad. That was the other thing that I didn't know, was that you could, one of the reasons why I have never wanted to do the assistive touch mouse or trackpad was because I didn't want to have that honking box on my screen. I didn't realize that that could be shut off if you have a device connected to it. That's fantastic.
Yes. Though whenever, of course, you then disconnect your mouse or trackpad, then it will go away. But that's not going to be a problem with something like the Bridge Pro Plus. So at least unless you run out of battery on your keyboard. So
true. All right. So this next story is really interesting. You may have seen it recently in the news among the blogs. But Amos Chappell, which is the guy who shot, which is the photographer, excuse me, that shot the photos in Russia's Arctic North with, let's see, let me find it here, 40 Days of Darkness. That's what I was looking for. Shot in the Arctic that were all using night mode from the iPhone to shoot these different photos and show what the iPhone was capable of shooting even in darkness. And there are some pretty incredible shots in this series that you should totally check out. But an important conversation is to be had here, which is that it appears at first glance that the telephoto lens can be used to shoot night mode. And in fact, the UI kind of gives that that belief that you, whenever you're zooming into 2x and you're using the telephoto lens, that it is still shooting with night mode. So you can see, I believe right below that frame, Kevin, is, yeah, there we go. So there's a screenshot, and for folks who are listening, I'll describe this. There's a screenshot of the camera UI, and night mode is currently activated, and the camera is set at 2x. Now, when the camera is set at 2x, typically what that means is the telephoto lens is activated. And so in the UI, it appears that at 2x, when the telephoto lens is activated, night mode is working. But That's not actually what's happening. Instead, Apple is using the main wide-angle lens, the 1X lens, essentially, to capture night mode photos and simply digitally cropping into 2X. So it is not the same thing as what the UI claims to show. And so what the photographer is arguing is that it is a little bit of dishonesty through obfuscation kind of approach there, where they don't make it clear that, no, you're not using the actual optical 2X lens. Instead, it is the 1X lens being used with the with a digital crop afterward. So it's, I don't know. I mean, for me, as a person who is not a photographer and doesn't do this, you know, professionally, it's not a bother to me as long as I get a good shot.
Yeah, I'm wondering for how many people this is actually going to be a problem for. Anybody that's using their iPhone for professional level photography, sure, it's definitely a problem for them. But for the vast majority of us taking photos of pets and pretty trees in the park or something like that, does it actually matter what it's doing, providing we get the result that we're expecting from this? Sure, it's a little bit dishonest, but we get a great result anyway. So I'm not seeing that for your average person, it's a big problem because they still get that awesome night mode.
Yeah, I agree. The article ends, this is again from the photographer. I find this disappointing, not from a tech angle, but from an honesty standpoint. The camera on this phone is incredible, and I doubt anyone would begrudge Apple limiting the power of night mode to one lens. But it could have been open about this instead of fudging the details. Lying by omission is still lying. So I understand where the photographer's point, you know, where they're coming from, for sure. For me, in the end, it doesn't affect me. I just want, like you said, a good photo. I don't care how it's taken. I don't really know how it's taken, to be honest. but as long as it looks good, sounds good, smells good,
and tastes good,
thank you, I'm happy with it.
Well, I'll make sure to get you some extra ones, stat, with delivery. Do you want sauce with those?
Yeah, I would like some sweet and sour sauce. Okay. And a side of barbecue, please.
Okay. Well, I'll get the carrier pigeons right on that. They may get a little lost on their way over the Atlantic, but we'll give it a go.
Thank you for playing with me in this space. I really appreciate it. Let's move on to talk about Slofies. Have you taken a Slofie?
So until you put this in the show notes, I forgot that Slofie was a thing that not only did Apple try and make a thing, mm-hmm. but they really pushed this to try and be a thing. And it's like, stop trying to make Slofies happen. It's not happening.
It honestly, I have no idea
how to take a Slofie.
Yeah, I don't know how this. And that's what these articles are, not articles. These videos are trying to show you is how to take a Slofie, which if you don't know, folks, Slofie, S-L-O-F-I-E is the feature. It is a term that Apple created to market the fact that the front-facing camera can take slow motion video. So essentially it is taking it at a higher frame rate, and then you slow it down to, you know, 30 frames per second, and then it can cram in more, and so it's slowed down.
Which looks awesome if you're going through like this foil covered wind tunnel, though that's not quite such a flattering shot as it was originally. I often look at selfies and think, I look a little bit weird anyway. If you were to animate that and slow it down, I just look like a crazy person all the time. I'm not sure I'm willing to let people see that side of me yet.
Let me see if I can't get the Slofie working. So I
did just test it. It's a little bit hard to demonstrate for me because my iPhone's not connected to anything. But I have a very weird photo of me looking at my microphone and then looking over at my phone and back.
I'm going to move the microphone away from me for a second, folks, just so I can do this. And then we'll figure this out together. Okay, here we go.
It's all right. I can serenade everybody as we go. So he's pressing the button and he's moving. And there's more movement and stop. Wonderful. I believe the microphone is back.
My head hurts. But now...
Okay, now I see why this is hilarious.
And look at, oh man, do I need a haircut?
But it's adorable, so I think you can get away with it. I like the brief moment of speed at the beginning. I have to say, the iPhone is really good at detecting which parts it should turn into slow-mo for you. Like, I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 on that, but I'm still not sold on the whole slow-fi thing.
And I'm going to actually decrease it here so that there's more... Oh, see, so if you tap edit, you can choose the part that gets slown. And so I want to start it out where I'm sort of gearing up and then it slows down.
Yeah, that's better.
And there's a slow fee. That's just horrifying. By the way, folks, slow fee is spelled S-L-O-F-I-E. So please, for the love of God, don't go to slophie.net or slophie.org. Because that is my eternal shame that when we, Leo and I, were covering the Apple event, I thought I would be clever and buy slophie.net and slophie.org on online. But I spelled it with a PH instead of an F. Aww. And so now both slophie.net, my version, and slophie.org, my version, will take you to the moment of my eternal shame. They redirect to the time code of the YouTube video where I, you know, made that horrible mistake. I'm still not taking slow fees except for the one I just did. And I...
It's not something I can see most people doing. Like, maybe taking videos for TikTok? Does that...
Oh, yeah. Maybe some...
Can you use it for that?
TikTok, like,
that,
slow
that
fees.
Could be pretty cool.
Yeah. You know what, folks? If you've taken slow fees... I'd like to see them. You can tweet at me or at us. That's at Twit on Twitter. That's at Micah Sargent on Twitter. Rosemary, I don't know if you want those as well.
Sure. Send me slow fees at Rosemary Orchard on Twitter. I'm curious to see what people are actually doing with this technology. Now, I would like to add a caveat. You need to have taken the slow fee before this, not just do a weird thing to send me a slow fee.
Yeah, we want to see the real slow fee takers in the world. All of
yeah,
you who
like
are...
this guy. This guy's clearly having a lot of fun playing with his hose pipe in the truck. So, okay, that's gone too far now.
Okay, that's kind of funny. It's a group slow fee. Are they going to do a dance?
I think they are doing a dance.
Oh my goodness. Kick them out of there.
Yeah, like, okay,
they're in the icebox.
Call security. We're good.
Call security. Security, we've got some slow fee takers. That takes care of that. Let's go ahead and move on to our feedback. I just wanted to follow up on something. We had a listener, Jennifer, write in. They were wanting some information about, basically they had downloaded some third-party photos apps, photo editing apps. And typically when a photo app is downloaded, you open it and one of the first things it says is, hey, can I have access to your photo library? Because it needs to request that access in order to actually edit photos. For some reason, when Jennifer was downloading these apps, when they were opened, they wouldn't show that prompt. And in the settings app, when you scrolled down to the privacy settings and hopped into there to grant access to the photo library, it also wasn't showing up there. Very confusing, very perplexing. The suggestion that Leo and I both gave was, at the end of the day, you might just want to delete the app and re-download it and give it another go. Well, that wasn't working either. So Jennifer says, I tried what you guys said and it didn't work, so I went into settings to try anything else because I have to have a photo editor for my PhD research, so I wasn't about to give up. I went into screen time and then content and privacy restrictions, photos, and tapped allow changes. Then I had to delete the apps and reinstall them, and Lightroom and Snapseed worked. So this was essentially a parental control feature that had been set up that caused no ability to add photo library access. Fascinating.
It's kind of weird that Lightroom and Snapseed couldn't detect that they were blocked there. That's that's not so fun. Not cool.
Not
Thanks,
cool at
Apple.
All. But Jennifer, thank you so much for following up because Jennifer had said in the original write-in that they had seen a lot of these responses online that, you know, other people were having this problem. And I had no idea. And, you know, Leo and I only had the ideas that we had, and this was not something that I had thought of. And so going forward, that's going to be one of the troubleshooting steps that I add to my sort of standard, have you tried this? Have you tried this? Have you tried this? We better hop into screen time and figure out if you've got it set up to where you can't allow changes to privacy restrictions. So very cool. All righty, let's move on. It's time to put on our app caps.
All right. I have a hat. It doesn't quite fit on top of my headphones, so I need to do a balancing act here.
All right. We've got some app caps today. We are so excited. What are app caps? Well, these are those things we do where we put hats on our head to say, these are the apps we like this week that we are enjoying. I can't play this character for very long. I am sorry
it's
to
okay.
say.
I'm going to give you full points for starting that way.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Flavortown. Exactly. Howdy. That's not really how he talks, though, is it? No, he says, welcome to Flavortown. This was bomb.com and other things that Guy Fieri says. Anyway, we wear these hats to honor the apps that we love. And this week, Rosemary, what app have you got for us?
I've picked Stylebook. This is something that I have been playing with. It's a $3.99 one-time purchase. And the idea is that you can catalog your wardrobe and then track the things that you actually wear and photograph your outfits so that you can see when did you last wear this dress or when did you last wear those shoes. And I really like the feature where you can build a wardrobe to help plan a trip that you're going on. Ooh. So I've got some trips coming up. I'm going to the UK next weekend, and I wanted to plan what I'm going to wear for lunch with my grandparents on Sunday, what I'm going to wear to dinner with my parents on Saturday. And it's really nice because I could just put everything together there and see exactly, okay, so I need to make sure that this jumper is washed and those jeans are washed and, you know, that I have that jacket to go with everything. And it was a couple of taps to set that up. I did have to photograph quite a few pieces of clothing beforehand, but I'm enjoying seeing what I've worn and when.
I really like that idea of having this database of my own clothes. Now, does it have features like it cuts out the outfit, or are they just photos with the background in them? How exactly does the process work for adding clothes to your, you know, your library?
So there are a few things that you could do. You can, and this is what I did for a lot of my clothes. I cheated. I went on the websites and I downloaded the clothes, like an image of them, or took a screenshot, because then it can detect the background and automatically trim it out, or it tries to. Now, if you've got something like a white dress on a white background, it's going to struggle. So if you're taking photos of clothes, you're probably going to want to have a dark and a light background available, so that you can take photos of different pieces of clothing on different color backgrounds. And then you can just put it together. But because it's tried to get rid of the background, you can overlay things on top of each other, which makes it really helpful for just putting together your outfits. And as you can see here, this person's just taking a picture and it automatically removes that background for you.
Well, that's super cool. And yeah, that planning feature, I'm always trying to find new ways. Right now, my packing process involves, I have index cards and I have I take a piece of like butcher paper, rip it and stick it to the wall with some painter's tape. And I chart out the days and I chart out, you know, the different outfits that I want to wear for that day. And then the different, items that I might need. And then I will take that butcher paper and, transfer that information to a note card, sort of like revise it as I need to. And then my note card, my index card, becomes the checklist of things that I have. So yeah, mine is a very physical, non-digital process of doing that. But I really like this idea because I have to go, you know, over to my closet and look in and find what I'm looking for, or go into my dressers and look what I want. But if I had this place where I can just scroll through and see, ooh, that sounds quite nice. I think I'm going to have to check
also
out.
Also fun if you're talking with friends, maybe more so for me. When we were organizing, we were both in San Francisco for Relay's 5th anniversary live show. Somebody asked me beforehand, so what are you wearing? And I was able to just pull out this picture of the dress because I'd already saved it and downloaded it and had put together my outfit in the app. So I could pull it out and show it to them in advance.
Okay. I like it. I dig it. and that app is available for, oh, I love it when
$3.99. It's a one-time purchase.
Oh, good. Always love a one-time purchase.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Perfect. So Stylebook, which you can find, of course, in the app store. All right. I'm so excited about this app. I typically don't talk about games or you know, use games in my app cap because I'm not a big gamer. I don't really keep games on my iOS devices because I find them grueling in most cases or just not interesting. And this time I found an app, a game that I quite like. It is called Pocket Build. It's available for $1.99 with in-app purchases. And essentially, you are doing resource management to build your own little town. You can add characters over time. You can add, you know, new homes. You can, I'm going to load my world. My world is called Micahville, because I didn't come up with a clever name because I was trying to get this set up so that I could show it. And right now I've got my little people. Some of them are chopping wood. Oh, another thing that I like is this is like a complete 3D experience. So I can zoom all around and zoom in on my little characters here. And then if I want to, I can go in first person mode and walk around. And what would I like to do? Let me scroll forward a little bit and... I need to go back. Oh, I don't want to chop wood. I want to. There we go. Use this to farm and collect food. So I will start collecting this food. And it's got a little bit of Minecraft feel to it for sure. But I like that it does both in the sense that you can sort of let your characters work on their own, a little Sims-like, or you can go in and help them to... farm food for you. And so then
I like the fact that they can do it on their own, because it's one of those things, like, for 5 minutes that could be fun, but
yes,
then,
but then after
4
that,
hours
like,
later you don't want to be collecting food by yourself.
Exactly. So when I tap on a person, I can choose to have them find wood, find food, mount a dragon or a horse. Well, I have to have a dragon or a horse first before I do that.
You can mount a dragon. Okay, I'm getting this game.
Right. You can name each of your little characters if you want to. So I'm going to put this one in auto mode, and it will do, or she will do what she thinks is best. I've got one supreme worker here. The rest of them are just normal peasants, but the supreme worker can chop down trees really quickly. And so I'm actually collecting stuff right now to get another supreme worker. They're not actually called supreme worker. That's just how they are in my head. I think their name is just worker. So, okay. Yeah, I've got some produce that I've planted, and your town just sort of starts to get built up as you collect things. Occasionally, foxes and rabbits will appear, and then you start to be able to expand out across the entire landscape of this world. Let me see if I can find... I've got this person in a boat. What's interesting is I can't get them out of the boat. I have no option to remove them.
He's also just sailed through a couple of posts, so I'm kind of not surprised.
The only thing I can do is make them self-destruct, and I really don't want to do that.
Doesn't sound like fun.
I'm afraid if I click remove mount that it will just be in the water, and I don't like that either.
But maybe he can climb out.
See, those aren't available because those... I think this is the only one that's available. So what I think has to happen...
You have to, like, build a...
I thought that I would need to build a place for them to get out of the water, sort of. I need to look into that some more.
These places look a little high
for him to get out. Yeah, that's a good point. So no, that poor creature's just, not creature, that poor little guy's just stuck in the water. See, there's a fox. How cool. And I love the style of this game. This nice it's sort of 8-bit design. And so then I can go in here as I've collected resources and start to add... I mean, so many different options here. Cliff edges, different fences and entrances and supports. This is probably where I can find what I need to do to get them out of the boat. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I could make a large boat if I wanted to, and a rowboat and a sailboat.
I just need, what is it called? A dock. There we go.
Yeah.
I might just need a dock.
Yeah, wherever a dock is, I'll have to look into that. But that is that. Now... What's interesting is that the characters are... and then eventually you can get goblins to fight and battle. So you try to keep your town safe from the goblins. It only works while it's on, so it doesn't do it in the background. It is a lady elf I can get. And then you can...
Maybe she has magic and she can get your guy out of the boat.
Oh, that'd be nice. Can you float my person out of the boat? That'd be great. And then... Here, let me show you... Where is the... I want to show you the... I'm having trouble finding it. They have a timeline of things that they want to do over time to make the game even better. And I can't remember where that is. Oh, phooey. Well, okay, so I can't find that right now, but before you subscribe, if you don't pay for the subscription, I think it's like 99 cents a month or something like that. That helps support them as they're trying to add more features. They eventually want to add multiplayer so you can play with your friends and create towns. And they show there's a timeline of things that they've already completed. So they're actively working on this game at all times, adding more features as they go along. And the next feature that they're adding is that multiplayer option, which I think would be really fun. So I could invite you to Micahville. And you could, you know, hang out and, I don't know, pet my rabbit that's here. Oh, no, I killed it.
Oh, no.
I didn't mean to do that. So, folks, do not tap on a creature and hit the axe button. Because if you do, it will destroy it.
So rude.
I know. So sad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I have this set to autosave. So, and another thing that's kind of cool is you can change the... graphics performance of the game, so I can have it as big and beautiful as I want with my, you know, pro device,
or if you're on a 24-hour flight, then you could crank that down, save your battery life.
Yeah, like let's, you know, it would crank down anti-aliasing and FPS and all that kind of stuff. But it's just a nice, simple game that I love. Resource management and I don't know, subtle building. And what is that game? It's available on... Is that a wolf? I think my cow. There was a cow in there at one point. Oh my God, the wolf ate my cow. What do I do? How do I... Okay, I don't want to axe the wolf, though, because maybe I could get a wolf pelt if I get the right creature for it. Anyway, so that's a new development. See, I'm learning new things all the time with this game. It's pretty great. But there was a game, Stardew Valley. Is that what it's called?
Yes, Stardew Valley.
That's on the Switch.
That's on iPad as well, I think. And Apple TV, I want to say. I'm not 100% sure on that, so don't quote me on it.
Yeah, that's what this kind of reminds me of. But it's a slightly different design, and I don't know. I just like it. It's almost soothing. And I'm honestly like, I just want to go play this game. But I'm doing a show. So that is my app cap, folks. Again, that's available for $1.99 with in-app purchases, which helps support the developers for future versions of the game. You can build castles. You can build an elven town. You can add so many different items and pretty flowers and things like that. Have horsies, all sorts of stuff. All right. I believe that brings us to the end of another episode of iOS Today. Rosemary Orchard, thank you again. You are always a delight to have on the show. You always bring such great apps and insight, and I appreciate you being here today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate you being here as well.
Oh, and I doth tip my cap to you with its included fuzz. folks, we record this show typically live every Tuesday at 9:30 a.m.-ish Pacific. That's 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Of course, you can watch live at twit.tv/live. If you have questions, feedback, suggestions, if you want to share your lemon-eating habits, you can do so at iostoday@twit.tv. You can join us live in the studio audience by heading to your email app of choice and sending an email to tickets@twit.tv. Of course, you can follow along on social media. That's at twit on Twitter. That's at twit.tv on Instagram. Rosemary Orchard, if people want to follow you and see all the cool stuff that you're up to, if you've got anything to plug, now would be the time to do so.
Well, the best place to find everything about me is my website, rosemaryorchard.com. I recently released a book called Take Control of Shortcuts, if anyone's interested in learning about shortcuts. And I also recently took over WhenWorks, a scheduling application to help you send people your availability. So,
ooh, sweet.
Yeah, I'm having fun with that. And I need to apparently check why my website is loading so slowly, judging by the image on the that I'm seeing on the screen there. And
It's
but yes, had a few
just
things to do recently.
getting prepared for the new year. It's working up to it. No big deal. No, thank you so much. We do appreciate you again being here. If you want to follow me online, that's at Micah Sargent on pretty much all the social things. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show. That's how you get all this great content, no matter the time of day, night, evening, morning, twilight. At twit.tv/iOS. There you will find links to all the different ways you can subscribe in all the different apps of your choice, even if it's just an RSS reader. That is going to do it for us, folks. And we thank you for joining us on iOS today. Goodbye.
Goodbye.